Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610. There's a texter that thinks I'm overreacting to Isak Paredes' potential hamstring injury. Let me be clear. I said if it's something that's serious, if he's out for an extended period of time, relatively speaking, that's a disaster for the Astros. He's one of two offensive guys that you can count on right now. That's it.
Yeah. The Astros, you and I during the break were talking about, okay, like what are the pivotal things that we're kind of waiting on with the Astros to try to figure out? And the first four that popped off in my head were all injuries.
All injuries, yeah.
It's Yordan's hand, right this moment, Paredes' hamstring, Spencer Arrigetti coming back, Lance McCullers, even though it's not injury related, just his return from many, many injuries and a long delay. It's all very precarious right now. It could swing wildly from one direction. If all those pivotal things actually worked out in the Astros' benefit, they're winning the World Series. If they don't, they're not making the playoffs.
I'll give you one that's not injury related.
Yes.
If it turns out that this bullpen, the middle part of the bullpen, I'm not talking about Josh Hader. He's getting paid to do what he's doing right now, which is
you're talking
nailed.
About the Sean Dubins.
I'm talking
of the
about
world.
The Dubins and the Okerts and the Orts and even the Brian Kings. You know, he pitched well last year. He's done some good things this year. The guys that aren't Brian Abreu and Josh Hader. If this is indeed just massive overachievement by them, you know, like if they're. Because the fact of the matter is, they're still throwing a lot of guys out there in the starting rotation that you're hoping to get five innings and three, giving up three runs. Like if I've said that all along, like Colton Gordon, Brandon Walter, Augusto, and I'd even still say Lance. We're still not totally sure where Lance is at right now. He's been better of late. If you're getting five innings and two or three runs out of those guys, I feel great because the bullpen has been nails. But these are a lot of no-namers. If it turns out they're just pitching way over their heads right now, that is definitely something that could swing this team, I think.
And Yiner Diaz is another one where, man, I cannot read another article about how the advanced metrics look good. Because even there are, when the expected stats are just a little bit better, like, oh, the expected stats say that he would be a league average hitter. Yeah. Like, all right, I that does nothing for me.
No.
You know, Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker, I was just going to say. Yeah.
It would be Kyle Tucker would get off to a slow start, but his expected stats showed that, no, he should be actually
like
crushing it. Then I can say, all right, that's bad luck.
Wow.
It might just be as much random luck that Yiner's expected stats look as good as he does.
Yep. No doubt. Right, let's
a strikeout is a strikeout.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you're actually putting the bat on the ball with your foul tips and whatnot.
Yes.
It's a strikeout's a strikeout.
Thank you. Nick Caserio was on with us yesterday. The entire interview is up on the Odyssey app. It's on our podcast. You can go listen to the whole thing. Save it. Listen to it over the weekend. It was a good conversation with the Texans GM. I will point out that we had the conversation about a half hour. It ended about a half hour before the Jimmy Ward news came out. So if you're going to that podcast expecting commentary from Nick Caserio on the Jimmy Ward news, that the interview took place before the news became public. But we did talk about C.J. Stroud and C.J. Stroud having more control at the line of scrimmage this year in Nick Caley's offense. Here are Nick Caserio's thoughts on that topic.
Yeah, it's always a process, so it's never anything happens overnight. So once you learn the kind of the terminology and the vernacular, that's step one. Step two is it's really about the communication mechanism. So who helps drive the communication? Sometimes it's the center. He handles all the communication. There's other systems where the quarterback sets the protection system, makes the mic identification, and then the communication kind of goes top down, and then the line gets it distributed inside out. So it's some combination. The most important thing is, are you seeing it the same way? Is the offensive line seeing it the same way as a quarterback is seeing it, and vice versa? And it's understanding like where your issues or where your problems are, and then what's the solution. So, and it takes time. You have to immerse yourself in film. You have to immerse yourself in meetings. You have to go on the field and do it. And there's going to be probably a little bit of a trial and error that takes place. In the case of CJ, he was able to handle the run game. The mic identification is a part of that. So he was a part of all the group run installations. He was on the field in the run periods. So getting the blockers distributed right. Who's the mic? Where's the force? Do we have to motion a guy across to get him in proximity where he can block that area? So there's plenty of work that you can get done.
And I think the very end there, Seth, I think the point he's making is like, hey, we know he wasn't throwing during OTAs, but he's still getting some good work.
There's a lot of mental reps that you can take. Now, this is the thing. It's always funny to hear when you hear veteran quarterbacks or retired quarterbacks explain that, because people, that's a very common question. Like, hey, what is this mic call? Why are the quarterbacks always pointing out the mic? You can tell guys that only played in a certain type of system where the offensive line was responsible for a lot of the sorting things out, because those guys will say, I don't know why everybody makes a big deal out of it. All you're doing is pointing out who the mic linebacker is, the middle linebacker.
Yeah.
And that's easy because it's always the same guy. Like, okay, I can tell what system you're in because, no, it's not always the same guy. It's not in systems where the quarterback is pointing out the mic. It might be the will linebacker in a given alignment or versus a given play. It might be a safety. It's something. It's everything that the quarterback is doing so that then the offensive line knows who they're supposed to pick up, how they count out from the mic. And so there, when you set the mic, it shows, it kind of divides the defense into a left and a right.
Okay.
And there's times where it's not the actual mic linebacker. It's somebody else. So it's a little bit of a terminology swing.
Yeah.
So the guys that have played in systems where the quarterback is genuinely just going up and saying, that there's Brian Urlacher or whatever it might be, or, you know, that's
that's Luke Kuechly right there.
Yeah. It is kind of dumb. Because, like, obviously it's him, unless there's a sub in or something.
Right.
But the quarterbacks who have more control, there's a lot more nuance to it. And, just by virtue of Nick talking about that, yes, CJ will have more control and command of the line of scrimmage. And a big part of that is CJ being really involved in the run game. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing that on run plays so that the O-line, the running backs, everybody else knows exactly how they're going to attack this defense. And that wasn't necessarily the case before.
Do you expect there to be maybe a burn-in period here? Like, if CJ gets off to, like, a slow start, is that something you could attribute it to? Is there going to be
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's where I think it comes to Caley. And I think this is where Caley and Slowick might differ, in that I think even Caley and Bill O'Brien might differ. It's that, like, I think Caley very much understands that you can only do what your players can handle or what they're good at any given time.
Yeah.
And O'Brien knew that. I know, like, O'Brien didn't, he wasn't an idiot about that. But you gotta just, the art part of it, the artful part of it comes into just the feel for, all right, how much can we put on his plate right now? And then once he's really comfortable with that, let's move on to the next step. It's like learning anything complex. You got to just start with the basics and then don't try to do it all at once. So, and it takes reps. Like, no matter how smart you are, Tom Brady was not the peak version of Tom Brady mentally until 7 or 8 years.
Several seasons. Yeah. Several seasons.
Now, what CJ has the benefit of is that Brady did a lot of things as a quarterback that were way more advanced than a lot of, like, many other quarterbacks had ever done before mentally. But CJ can stand, you know, stand on his shoulders,
yeah.
And you can learn. There's a lot of lessons learned that he can take, and hopefully it's a faster process.
You asked Nick about Brady. You set this up. You asked Nick about CJ sitting and watching Tom Brady. I guess there's not much to set up. This is
I liked that it was that they were watching the 2003 and 2000 version.
That's right,
four version of Tom Brady before he became the guy that was doing all that advanced stuff.
Yep, here's Caserio on that.
As it pertains to individual quarterback techniques and those types of things, you always have to be careful about trying to extrapolate. Well, this player does this, you're going to try to do the same thing. I think any player, it's good to watch other players, and really what you're trying to do is maybe there's one or two things that you can focus on that you can apply to what you do or what you have as a player in order to enhance your overall productivity. So it's probably a combination of system element, what we call this, here's what happened on this play, here's what we were looking for, because there's a library of information that goes back a number of years. And then as it pertains to playing quarterback, that 2003 season, and I probably have mentioned this or talked about this, when you look at Tom's career, it was almost like two careers within one. You kind of had the 01 to kind of 10, you know, group, and then 10 to 20 or whenever he left. And you know, he wasn't a starter until 01, 2002. We weren't very good. We were 9-7. And then we, you know, turned the team over there a little bit. And then 03 and 04, you know, we were fortunate enough to put ourselves in a position, have an opportunity to win some Super Bowls. And then Tom continued to, I would say, grow as a player.
Yeah. And a lot of that too, you know, one of the things that kind of sent Brady over the top in some ways it was when they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
I mean, there was kind of a, that was what I think really maybe put the chip on the shoulder. Like the second, Brady naturally has a chip on his shoulder, but, and that wasn't until 2014.
Yeah.
But it was that period in the early 2010s where people wondered, you know, just how long was the shelf life? There's a between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and everybody knows that Bill Belichick isn't going to be sentimental about anything.
No,
but he went through a transformation. Tom Brady did, to where he became that complete version of Tom Brady, where he was going to come up to the line and he knew which tells were important by the defensive guys. He could tell when you were going to blitz. He could adjust and tweak the offense before the snap. Like, that is a high level. That's a high level of functioning. And I don't expect CJ to be there in week one of operating this offense.
Right.
The trajectory to watch really is Deshaun Watson, or to look back to, because Deshaun really, it took a few years for him to go from a very raw quarterback in a lot of respects because of the system he came out of. And by 2020, he had it dialed in, and he was doing a lot of that higher level stuff and able to kind of read the defense on a different level. And unfortunately, I don't know what happened. Everything just kind of fell apart.
Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. Here we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a shot of Deshaun, not to get off on a Deshaun track. He was at Cleveland minicamp this week, but he was lurking, like, there's a picture of him. Like, with a hoodie on, he looked like a Sith Lord just standing, like, next to the goalpost by himself, just staring at everybody practicing. That's got to be the weirdest dynamic up there, man. It's got to be so strange.
What was that? Ernie Adams. Remember Ernie Adams was Bill Belichick's right-hand man forever?
Yeah.
And people always wondered, like, what the hell does he do anyway? Like, why is he in the organization? That's what the Art Modell at one point said. He'd give $100,000 to anybody who could explain to him what Ernie Adams does.
Yes.
I feel like Deshaun's like a weird version of the new Ernie Adams with the Browns. Yeah. He's back there. Nobody knows what he does.
He do?
They pay him a lot of money.
Yeah. He's always dressed up in Browns gear. He's got his hoodie on.
We had that guy from Cleveland earlier.
Jonathan Peterlin, yeah.
Jonathan said that Stefanski almost awkwardly shoehorns Deshaun into any question he's asked.
Yeah.
He'll mention the quarterback competition. He'll talk about the four guys, and then he'll say, and Deshaun too.
Right.
Don't forget about Deshaun.
This guy who's making 10 times what the other four guys are making combined is standing off to the side over here.
That guy who's like the highest paid guy on the team.
Totally. All right, one more from Nick Caserio. Then we'll get to D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans proactive mentions. We're going to get to those in a second. But this is we asked Nick Caserio about Christian Harris. Christian Harris, of course, injuries really derailed him last year. He only played a little bit at the end of the season. And now through OTAs and minicamp, he's been working out off to the side. He's not been practicing again. D'Amico Ryans himself said a week or two ago that Christian will be ready to go for training camp. Here's Nick Caserio's take on the situation.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be good to go. So, I mean, he's unfortunately had some bad luck here over the last few years. I think he's shown when he's available and he's on the field, he can be a very effective player for us. So he's done what he's able to do. I'd say we have different players throughout the course of spring in different categories. They're doing what they're capable of doing. And then the target right now is, what are we going to have? Who's going to be available for training camp? The expectation is that he'll be ready for training camp. So we'll go through these next however many weeks. There are going to be some guys that continue to train, continue to rehab, and, you know, those couple weeks there before training camp, you know, guys will be back in the building. So we'll have the most up-to-date information. And then once we start training camp, you know, hopefully we'll have a better idea where some of these players are. But the expectation is that he'll be available and ready to go. If he's not, then we'll handle it accordingly and go from there.
You know, one of the things in either that answer, it was a longer answer, or one of the other ones, he talked about, I think he was speaking in generalities, and I didn't know whether he was referencing Christian Harris specifically or not, but he talked about how it's on the player themselves too,
yeah,
to be open and honest with the training staff and just be responsible about treatment, all of that. I didn't want to interpret that as shade towards Christian Harris, but he did bring it up in the context of a discussion about Christian Harris.
Yeah.
And I'd say the same thing with Jordan or anybody else. You just never know exactly what's going on with what the player is telling the team, and exactly, you know, like, it's easy to just blame the training staff or the medical staff. We don't know. It's one of these frustrating situations where we don't know. I don't expect the team to divulge every little thing about how something unfolds. But I also, with no disrespect meant towards Nick or D'Amico or anybody else at all, I can't hear he'll be fine and ready to go and really take it on faith.
Yeah.
It's been almost a year now with Christian Harris that we've been going through.
Nick was more cautious than D'Amico was in talking about Christian Harris. And D'Amico's answer was short. It was five seconds of him saying he'll be ready to go for training camp. Nick basically said, yeah, we expect him to be ready to go, but if he's not, then we'll adapt accordingly to
it. It's like if you have a car that breaks down a lot and you finally think you fixed it,
yeah,
and you're going off on a road trip across the Mojave Desert. You're like, hey, don't worry, honey, and the kids and our infant child, it's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
I think EJ Speed is here for a reason. You know, I think he's kind of Christian Harris insurance in case he can't get on the field. Now, if he is ready for training camp, let's let our brain go there for a second. Because Christian Harris he's off my radar when it comes to this defense. When I start thinking of this defense, Seth, and I start to go to the three levels of this defense, the defensive front, the linebackers, and the secondary, and I start to think of all the just this massive talent that they've assembled over the last 3 years, Christian Harris does not show up on my radar in my brain. He is out of sight, out of mind for me. If they get the second half of 2023 version of Christian Harris plunked down into this defense, I mean, holy crap. You know, like that, he was the best player on the field for them in the loss to the Ravens in the postseason. Like, his last body of work before the calf injury derailed him in 2024 was a pick six against the Browns, and then a really good game. He was the best defensive player for the Texans in that Ravens game.
That's a great point, Sean. Especially, I mean, there were a couple times where Lamar Jackson had broken out of the pocket. Christian Harris ended up getting a sack on that one player, at least a tackle just
before
the scrimmage. And you're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
There were also some miscues in that game that I didn't know whether to pin it on Christian Harris or not, but, like, in that game, like, you could still see that the Texans' defense was very raw, and Christian Harris improved greatly, but was still raw in some respects. I mean, I almost looked at that first year with D'Amico as Christian Harris's rookie year, because
so did D'Amico. He said it.
He said, I look at this as his rookie year. And it, like, you, if you look at the progression, that's kind of how it went. The first half of the season, all right, doing some good things. He doubled his production in the second half of the season, but he was still a work in progress when it came to coverage and everything like that. But he's sideline to sideline. He's a guy that can erase a lot of mistakes.
That's right. Yep.
And also, in this defense, one of the tough things up for the linebackers, really, is that this defense, a lot of times, those defensive ends are funneling everything to the inside. Mm-hmm. So it puts a lot of pressure on the defensive tackles and the linebackers to stop the run. But at the same time, on play action, those same linebackers who are really have a lot of extra responsibility up the middle,
yep,
got to get out to the flat for pass coverage. And it's so having an athlete like Christian Harris is really, really vital if you want to see the peak, like the peak potential of
no question.
Season.
No question about it. So fingers crossed that he's ready to go for training camp. Hopefully they're just being very cautious with him right now. So we'll see. You can get our entire Nick Caserio interview up on our podcast page, up on the Odyssey app. Just search it. It's up there. It was a good conversation. That'll be the last time we talk to Nick until training camp. We'll talk to him, I'm sure, at the outset of training camp in late July. D'Amico Ryan's proactive mentions. I love keeping track of this stuff because he does mention certain guys quite a bit. Will Anderson, Kamari Lassiter has, I think, sort of entered that list for D'Amico. He loves Jalen Petrie. He loves C.J. Stroud, obviously. These are a couple guys that are second-year guys he's about to proactively mention at his press conference the other day, that if they get the best version of these two guys, that'll be really, really nice.
Hey, Stover, he's a guy who I think has grown his time and just on one small detail for him is just, you know, his separation at the top of the routes. So seeing Cade, a second-year player, take the steps to get better at the one thing, just his route definition at the top of his route, and seeing him make play after play, like that's what excites me about the offseason. That's why I think it's really important, these 8-9 weeks that we have with the players, if you attack it with the right mindset, you can actually get better, enhance your game. And you don't see as big of a jump in a lot of guys, or really is that first and second year. That's where you see a jump, and that's where I think Kay Stover has taken a jump, and also Kalen Bullock. Kalen has done an outstanding job, you know, this offseason of, you know, we know Kalen for tracking the football, making interceptions, but the thing that I'm very pleased with the way Coach Adegoke has worked with him just on his tracking, putting himself in really good body position to make tackles. We're not tackling or being physical, but he's doing those small things that's going to set him up to make those tackles when we put the pads on. So those small highlights are really huge for me, and we have multiple guys who are getting really getting a lot better in their craft.
The proactive mention watch for this offseason, LaDarius Henderson was one early
on. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I believe Caserio was the one that brought it up with us, right?
Us, yep, for sure.
That he kind of just talked about a physique transformation.
Yep.
Or I guess, you know what, we asked about who has transformed their physique.
Well, I asked specifically about Blake Fisher.
He brought up LaDarius Henderson and Kamari Lassiter.
Correct, yeah.
So those were proactive mentions. The Cade Stover mention, as you said, that was originally a question about somebody. I think it was a question about somebody else.
Yeah.
So that was brought up proactively.
Yep.
And D'Amico's been pretty consistent that when he gushes about a guy in minicamp or training camp, it's not him just being nice. I mean, he doesn't. You know, he said some nice things about Ariante Ursary when asked about him during OTAs and minicamp, but he also, you know, he pointed out that he's, you know, still learning how to be a pro, all of these other things, whereas he's just absolutely gushed about Jaden Higgins.
Correct.
Like, and the way he gushed about Kamari Lassiter last year.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And Kalen Bullock in that cut we just played. And I'll tell you, Cade Stover and Kalen Bullock did pop at these OTAs, or the mini camp. The plays were getting made by both those guys out there.
And that's where, with Cade Stover, because he's not a super athlete at all by tight end standards, but he's also very, very raw. But everybody from Ohio State or anybody else just absolutely gushes about what a worker he is, how intense he is, all that stuff. So you'd expect that's the classic kind of guy that, after only playing tight end for 2 years in college, is going to learn a lot in his rookie year and hopefully take that next step forward.
Yeah, he's not a tight end by trade. He came into Ohio State not even playing offense. He was on the defensive side of the ball.
I saw somebody on Twitter yesterday say something. I wish I could remember who it was. Something along the lines of, this is a classic Texan situation where everybody's super excited that Cade Stover might develop into doing a lot of these things that the high-paid guy above him can't do. Yeah. And it just, hey, yeah, I know they just gave Dalton Schultz an extension.
Yeah.
But Nate Silver might end up being a really good blocker. Yeah.
Yeah.
He can actually, who can get separation on his own, not just as an outlet because there's other good guys around him.
He can do it for a tenth of the price of Dalton Schultz.
I don't think that's a classic Texans thing. I think that's a classic pro sports thing in general.
Yeah, yeah,
if you're not super in love with the guy, yeah, you're always looking for the next guy coming up from underneath that might replace the guy.
Yep. All right, a couple more here from minicamp this week. These are unicorns that we're about to play for you right here. These are Derek Stingley cuts that are longer than 4 seconds. In fact, might even be double-digit number of seconds. This is Derek Stingley on the secondary room for the Houston Texans.
Well, I mean, since day one, you know, we always click and then just get closer every day.
Tell the fans more about the different players in the secondary so they get to know them a little better.
I mean, you got some crazy people, then you got like me. I don't, you know, not crazy, but I can't be crazy though. But I mean, everybody, you know, everybody different, so it all worked together.
Okay, so there you go. That's actually two answers. So I kind of lied.
I'm not crazy, but I can be crazy. Like yeah. When I blindsided Dalton Schultz after that melee.
Right. That's right.
he went Antonio Brown on him.
He did.
The melee was over. He grabbed the. So, for those of you who don't know, Antonio Brown is accused of after being attacked or getting in a fight at an event a couple weeks ago, he allegedly grabbed the gun from a security guard and then fired 2 rounds at the guy after the fight had been separated.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So Derek can be crazy. That's where the old still waters run deep side of Derek Stingley is. You know, he's got it in him. He's usually calm, cool, and collected.
That's probably the craziest we've seen him, though. Like, that was
That one was so odd about
all
of it.
Very uncharacteristic, yes.
I was sitting, I think I was sitting in the stands that day. It was that rainy day, right? I was sitting up in the sponsors section
I think it was.
Eating all the free food that I could get. It took me a while to really digest that it was Derek Stingley who come up and blindsided him.
Yeah, that was wild. You're right. That was a crazy moment, man. And we'll see if we have any of those this year at training camp. One more from Stingley. This is actually a legit single answer, not two answers pasted together. He loves him some cornerbacks coach Dino Vasso.
Yeah, Dino. Without Dino, I mean, none of us would be where we're at right now. I feel like going into every year, we kind of know how to coach ourselves and, well, not coach ourselves, but like we know what we did wrong and how to fix it. And then Dino, of course, help us out. So, I mean, yeah, appreciate the Dino. Wherever you at.
All right.
and Dino Vasso, you know, I've tried to make it a point this offseason to remember to mention Vasso and Adegoke, the safeties coach.
Yep.
That, man, that was a secondary last year that had Jalen Petrie playing in a brand new position and two rookies at starting at safety and one at cornerback, and that you were able to do what you did defensively. That's a lot of credit to coaching there. But also, you know, as a reminder, man, the Texans gave up a lot of deep passes, deep touchdowns. Like, that was their one glitch last year, was that they just had some hiccups that kept them from being really as genuinely good as they could be. And some of that is because of youth in the secondary. But for Dino Vasso, you know, like for Derek Stingley to say we got a lot of crazy guys, that is, I mean, it's a hard balance to strike when you've got these awesomely aggressive defensive backs. Every single one of them wants to come up and hit somebody.
Yeah.
You don't want to take the spirit out of them. It's like training a racehorse, you know? You got to get we don't want to take that fire out of your eyes, but you got to at least learn a few things
about
when
yourself.
So you're a jockey more so than anything.
Yeah.
Finding the right pace for your racehorse.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, you don't want a bunch of show ponies out there who are doing everything right all the time.
Right.
But you know, they don't know how to go to war.
It ain't a petting zoo. This ain't the 4-H fair, all right?
This isn't some aging goat that you can trust isn't going to bite your child.
This is the Kentucky Derby, but we got to be responsible here.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Is Mike McDaniel trying too hard? Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins head coach, who I think has been best known since he was hired for his affable personality and his little quips and his funny quirks and things like that. He might be on a bit of a hot seat now. They've yet to win a playoff game in Miami since he got there. Here was Mike McDaniel a couple days ago. We won't play this whole cut. But this was Mike McDaniel a couple days ago when he was being asked about his feelings on Jalen Ramsey staying away from mandatory minicamp while he's seeking a trade.
Just confirm Jalen Ramsey not here.
Oh, he is not here. We are focused on building the Dolphins today and anything outside of that any sort of distractions I'm not focused on.
Surprised it's taken this long to find a resolution on the team.
I don't personally, and I would lump you into this with me. I don't give a about what I feel.
Okay. doesn't give a bleep about what he feels. I mean, just
that is the appropriate approach to take. I think that's one thing that Caserio does really well. You got to detach whatever your expectations about the way people should operate,
sure,
and everything from it, and just look at the reality of the situation and try to take your own feelings out of it. The funny thing about McDaniel is that it always feels like, man, he's the guy. It almost feels like he's consciously trying to swear in press conferences,
yeah,
to show that he's actually tough.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys think I'm not tough, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I know the F word, I'm not afraid to say it.
So
yeah.
That was Wednesday. He did it again on Thursday.
That, hey, it's okay to call someone out when they deserve to be called out. And for those people it's okay to be called out as long as you change your f-ing behavior. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Not just change your, not just your behavior, but your bleeping behavior.
Your bleeping behavior, yeah.
So change your f-ing behavior.
Yeah, is Mike McDaniel, okay, is he trying a little too hard right now?
I don't know. It's either that he's either trying too hard or he's genuinely getting to that point where, okay.
Yeah, maybe breaking.
All the outside noise about him not being tough enough, et cetera, et cetera. The relentless positivity is just fine. Pete Carroll was relentlessly positive, except that this is the key. You have to have an edge to you somewhere in the way you operate.
Yeah.
The way Pete Carroll did it was he genuinely, the competition was real. Like the thought that, man, even if you're a starter, you are constantly in competition for your job and everything else. I don't know if, you know, without going over the entire transaction history of the Miami Dolphins, I don't know if Mike McDaniel has necessarily operated that way. I think right. It's been more like happy, happy, joy, joy all the time. Everything's yep. going to be fine.
Yeah.
No, ignore those, that toxic positivity. Yeah. I'm like, no, oh, no, there's no issue. No, there's no gunman in the corner. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Do you think he's on a hot seat this season? If they don't make the playoffs, do you think Mike McDaniel is out in Miami?
Yeah, I think the relentless positivity really wears when you're not achieving expectations.
Yeah,
that's when it starts to. We saw that in Jacksonville with Gus Bradley. The guy comes in and people are like, yeah, this is the Ted Lasso effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten worse since the Ted Lasso show came on. I think honestly. Ted Lasso, the TV show, played a role in David Culley getting hired.
Yeah.
Either consciously or subconsciously.
Yes.
Hey, you're thinking outside the box.
Yep.
And, like I said, it can work as it did with Pete Carroll and various other coaches who have had a very non-Belichick type of personality.
Mm-hmm.
But it wears on people very, very quickly if you're not, because it rubs up against all of your preconceptions about how a football coach is supposed to be.
D'Amico has had a really good first two seasons, I think, considering where this organization was coming from when he got hired. 10-7 both years, division championships both years, won a playoff game. The whole thing's on the right trajectory right now. Where is he on the positivity scale for you when it comes
he's like a positivity in the way that Navy SEAL, like when I watch Navy SEAL training.
Okay.
You know when I went through SEAL training.
You don't talk about that very much, but yeah,
unfortunately,
I remember.
Stress fractures did me in. but there's very much an emphasis on always moving forward. So it's a positive mindset, and that's the problem. Sometimes people confuse a positive mindset with happy, happy, joy, joy all the time.
Yep.
It's just I think D'Amico is like, no, we're moving forward all the time.
Yeah.
It's a forward moving mindset because he coaches the hell out of guys and he addresses problems and he'll tell guys the biggest thing is you got to be brutally honest with people. Remember when he told Aziz Alshire after Aziz Alshire had been sick and in the hospital, and he came in the first couple series. Versus the Bills, right?
I think it was,
Like it was really rough for Aziz Alshire.
Yeah.
And D'Amico just flat out said, hey, man, I got to take you out if this is the way you're playing. And it's not like, he's not being a bastard about it or anything. He's just being honest with him. And boom, that Aziz picked it up after that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where D'Amico is. It's like a forward-moving mindset that, all right, made a mistake. How are we going to fix it? Let's move forward.
Yep. And he's never going to throw guys under the bus. There's that. There's always people that expect. Kubiak, to me, he's a lot like Kubiak in that respect, where I think Kubiak was that way, and I think the other thing that you hear about D'Amico that you heard about Kubiak was guys, and you got coached by Kubiak for a year, so he was a different guy inside the building than he was at press conferences and things like that.
Yeah, I think sometimes people confuse yelling and screaming for hard coaching.
Right. Well,
there's some of the laziest coaches I've ever been
Screamers.
Around were the guys who yelled and screamed the most because they didn't actually know what to teach. I remember David Carr telling a story about Kubiak, which was that, in a positive way, one of the things that was different about Kubiak was like, all right, you know, David Carr gets sacked and immediately Kubiak's in his ear. Like, all right, come on, get up. We got to do this. Now to do that. Got to do that. Kind of that forward moving mindset.
Yeah, let's go.
That you just like you can't waste time on having temper tantrums and everything. There's another play to come up. And that's just it's a positive mindset, but it's not necessarily what people have in their brains of a positive mindset being.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. All right, so a week from yesterday, June 19th, I think, we're going to be doing our next Circle of Trust. The big headliner will be Jake Meyers. Does he get in? We've set that date. Who are the players right now on the Astros that are out of our Circle of Trust that have put themselves in the conversation over this recent run of success that they've had? Sort of a Circle of Trust preview a week out. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
Yeah, should we be more like Stephen A. Smith? I'm looking at an article on Barrett Sports Media right now. Why talk radio hosts should emulate Stephen A. Smith. He does make a lot of money. He makes a ton of money.
Stephen A. Smith, I think first and foremost, he's very good at his job, which is to speak entertainingly, right? That's the job.
He's been in Take-A-Mania like the last 4 weeks. So he
and he makes huge statements, yeah. And sometimes you agree with him and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
For all those guys, I don't know. I think there's some of what Stephen A. Smith does, which it works really well on a national level, yeah, because it really is a lot about creating polarizing takes where people hate you for it or they agree with you adamantly. I think on local radio, it's harder because by and large, you're speaking to a group of people that over time, if you do it and you're trying to be polarizing all the time, it starts to wear on people because it doesn't feel genuine necessarily. So I think there's some level to it. Yes. But being always a contrarian or always trying to have a hot take, I think people just get tired of it. Now, back in the day, I don't think they got as tired of it. But now people have more options. And they're just, all right, look, this guy, if Seth says too many stupid things in a row, you just start to get tired of it, even though it might piss you off or something.
Yeah.
My organic number of stupid things that I say is just I think I'm close to my sweet spot.
You're in a sweet spot. Yeah, that's what
I was
going to say.
It's endearing to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, Seth, you're so stupid. But I know it comes from a good... I know your intentions are pure.
Right.
You're not just trying to be an agitator or something.
I think I'm just going to workshop some of that with Amy this week. I'm just going to act like Stephen A. Smith all weekend and just see how it goes with her. Use her as my test audience. Yeah.
Dude, you know what? There's been a couple times in my life or in my relationship with my wife, who I've been married to for 23 years now, where it's like sometimes I've just been like, I've gotten fed up with something and I've kind of set a hard line.
Yeah.
And I can see in her eyes the respect for the alpha that I am. And yet at the same time, I'm like, it's a lot of work.
It's one more thing to manage.
I'm just going to let this slide. I just got to,
going to be the easy teacher. Brandy, you got an A.
Every time we're having a dispute with somebody over something, and I'll just be an argument with a salesman or something. And I'm just like, listen, bleep, 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 bleep.
Right.
And I can see in her eyes, she's like, oh, I like that kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And I'll look at her and be like, don't expect any more of that for at least a couple years. I'm just like, whatever. I'd rather, listen, Brand, usually I'd rather pay the extra $50 and just be done with it, okay?
Yeah, that's great. All right, so now you got to get your hardline face on, though. So we're not doing the Circle of Trust right now. We're going to do it next Thursday. But the most recent the Astros circle of trust, I just wanted to kind of like look at like the guys who have put themselves in the conversation for it. The last circle of trust we did, I think, was the smallest one we've ever had. We did it a couple of weeks ago, and there were only five guys in it. It was Paredes, who were waiting on news on his hamstring. Pulled it last night, if you missed that. Pulled his hand, left hamstring. We're waiting on news for that today sometime. Jeremy Peña, all-star. Should be an all-star this year. Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown, who I think you can make a case for both of them, especially Hunter, as an all-star as well. And then Josh Hader, sort of representing the bullpen at large. We don't dig deep enough in the circle of trust where we're doing Okert and Ort and guys like that. It's the everyday guys, it's the rotation, and the bullpen is its own entity. Hader should be an all-star as well. Myers is going to be the big headliner. Now, this is why we're doing it next week. We set the date of Juneteenth to do the Jake Myers referendum. You wanted him in last time. I didn't want him in last time. Our producer, Ben Gary, broke the tie and kept him out. He's continued to keep his numbers in that neighborhood. He's still batting around 300. He's still... I've been moderately swayed. I still don't know if he's in for me yet, but that's the headliner for next week, I think.
You know what? Yiner is the one that, if you go back to, this is actually before he started his real turnaround. So these numbers would be even more impressive, but I don't want to wait for Baseball Reference to load up.
Yeah.
So from April 23rd.
Okay.
Until today. Yeah. He's batting .290 with a .794 OPS.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's very solid.
It really is. He was so bad. His actual OPS right now is still in the 600s.
He was awful to start the season.
Yeah, but he was so bad, and that, like, so actually his numbers are better than even what I just said. If you go back to when he genuinely, the lowest OPS he had started out with, he was down at a .192. Back in that was the eighth game of the season, so it was a long time ago. But like, yes, he's been an above average baseball player. So I mean, Yiner's very much in the conversation.
He's on the radar too. I did not have him on my list in front of me here, but you've convinced me to at least. Again, this is just guys who are in the conversation. We're not adjudicating the circle of trust till Thursday.
Just that's 41 games where he's at a .290 batting average with a .794 OPS.
Yep. So Jake Yiner is in the conversation. Jose Altuve will always be in the conversation. We left Jose Altuve out of the circle of trust last time, deservedly so. And then he immediately that night, I think, hit two home runs that night. Mm-hmm. He had a multi-home run game shortly after we left him out. I mean, it was clearly moved emotionally by the fact that, like, in a way where he got angry, little Altuve.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You know, it was kind of like when I, you know, kind of when I do it, make an alpha male display in front of Brandy.
The same
thing.
And
she's almost like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Look at him.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Except unlike me, Altuve's continued on with it.
Right.
Acting like an alpha male.
That's
right.
Yeah. He's kept doing it. So we'll see. I mean, he's cooled off a little bit. Numbers overall still aren't where I think they need to be for what he's getting paid, but he's Jose Altuve. So he'll be in the conversation. I think other guys in the conversation, like the last time when we did it last time, Seth, this ball club was so inept offensively that it only made sense to even entertain four or five guys in a conversation about making it. Victor Caratini, I think there will be a conversation. Maybe. I mean, as of me putting this list together, he was an OPS plus of 100, which means he was an average Major League Baseball player offensively.
Yeah. I know, and some of this is, you know, oh, how far are we falling? Where when we started doing the Circle of Trust, it was almost like you had to be damn near it,
just an
all-star caliber, or at least in the conversation to be in the Circle of Trust. Now we've veered a little bit more towards, hey, is this guy exceeding expectations?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, look at this. Yeah. I like that he's exceeding expectations.
Yeah, and next Thursday will be the day that it all gets figured out. But I wrote Cam Smith's name down. He's a 94 OPS plus. I think I'm making your point right now. He's slightly below average big, but is it a sliding scale? And he's good defensively too.
Right. In our previous standards, no, there is no sliding scale.
Yeah.
By our current standards, he's a rookie who's playing right field for the first time in his career and making some incredible defensive plays, and he's showing promise at the plate. Yeah, we might have to.
We'll present him.
This is a limpid. A circle of trust we formed here.
It is. It's more. Yeah, it's more like
we have a permeable membrane in this circle.
Yeah, it's kind of like an elliptical, you know, more than it is a circle. You know, it's just kind of fluid and gooey. I look, man, he'll have one more start, I think, between now and then, but I might present Brandon Walter for the circle of trust if he has a third good start. Present him for it. I'm not saying we put him in. Two good starts, man, like you said. We are going to do it on
Juneteenth.
We're going to do it on Thursday. Next Thursday we're going to do that. So those are the names I would, if, as of right now, and the five, and obviously the five guys who are already in. Although we'll see if Paredes is on the IL, he's out. Well, you cannot be on the IL and be in the circle of trust. These are the rules, and they are unflinchingly rigid. We cannot do that. So, man, fingers crossed on this hamstring with Paredes. Someone accused me of making a big deal out of it earlier. Have you lived in this city long enough to see what hamstrings, what happens with hamstrings in the city of Houston?
Yeah. Hamstring injury to a Houstonian is just below heavy rainfall for any sustained period of time and it giving you Harvey PTSD.
Yes.
There's just like, you know.
A great analogy. Yes.
If it rains steadily and hard for more than an hour, I'm like, ah, it's Harvey. It's Harvey. Ah.
Right, right.
This... If somebody gets a hamstring injury, I'm like, ah, it's Chris Paul.
It's Nico. It's Nico. I mean, we've had hamstring injuries in the last year. They go back to like 2015, though. Like, Will Fuller was a walking hamstring injury, you know? Like, James Harden had a hamstring
injury. More specifically,
point.
A non-walking hamstring injury.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yes. He was a limping hamstring, this guy. Yeah, yeah.
Will Fuller. I miss Will Fuller.
Yeah, Andre Johnson. Thank you, Colin, our producer. Andre had hamstring injuries from time to time, for sure.
Thanks, Colin. Yeah. Colin, where'd you go to high school?
I went to Robert Turner College and Career High School in Pearland.
Pearland, okay. Yeah.
What's it called?
Robert Turner College and Career High School.
So what's that like? That's a like some kind of
like a vocational
kind of magnet school.
It's more academic space. Like you could go to college in high school. That's what I did. I got some college credits out of the way. I was a pretty smart guy, I guess.
Look at you.
Yeah. But right. So how many credits did you have when you graduated high school?
It's a long time ago. I think I already had almost a full year out of the way.
Wow.
Nice.
Look at you, man. All right. What are you doing here?
I wanted to be here on my own.
I love that. I love that. That's good. I'm joking around. Well, I'm joking around.
No, you know, my kid had a similar experience because, and you know, could graduate after 2.5 years, but as they're going to school out of state, and I'm paying that tuition, has more academic opportunities to explore. So I'm like,
I know.
Take all 4 years.
I know.
That's great. It's good for you.
Yes. I've paid tuition to that school as well before. Yes.
Out of state. University of Oregon.
I will admit I accidentally / on purpose stayed in college at Sam Houston one more year just so I can just stay.
Man. Oh, dude.
Yeah, but you're paying in-state tuition, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
It's like you're not on my level, man. All right. I don't want your empathy.
I'm calling my accountant. I was like, can you make me look eligible for more?
Exactly.
Bogus.
No Pell Grants.
Tell me how to screw the government on this.
No Pell Grants for you, old Sethers. Yeah.
I need to lose some money. Yeah. Stat. I'm going to call up Sarah. Yeah.
Just for two more years. That's it. I can be a big wig. All right. Into the 8 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast. Dark horse MVP candidates. CJ Stroud is on this list. But is this actually a step backwards in a way? I will have that for you. We will have that for you coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.